And hi, welcome to another episode of Tennessee Fro Was Reading. I'm your host, Tin Fro. In this episode, I'll just be talking about a multitude of things, in particular, what just simply expanding upon COVID, because as a medical professional, I think I am as likely to have an informed opinion about state policy and mandates as any other person with a platform, even though my platform is not big as most. I'll talk about what I'm reading, of course, because I'm Tin Fro Was Reading, as well as what I'm watching, what I'm writing in prep for 2021, and of course what I'm eating, because what I'm eating is influenced by everything that I'm reading and watching. So I hope you enjoyed this episode and listen to the vibe and sensation of A Tribe Called Quest. Is this available for immediate download on iTunes or wherever you listen to music? And thank you for listening. Living is a big shrug. A life filled with, that's what I love. A lower plateau is what we're above. If you diss us, we won't even think of. We'll nip of the dog and give a big shove. This rhythm really fits like a snug glove. Like a box of positives, it's a plus love. As the trial flies high like a dove. That is the great Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive. And again, just like I've said previously before, all of these songs are available for immediate download on iTunes or wherever you listen to music. This past week has been kind of odd in a lot of ways because I've spent a lot of time reading and writing and just enjoying doing what I do best. I've started the sidebars I started the side-eye sidebars as a reaction, because I'm petty and I'm shady, is a reaction to what I deem to be a slight and being put in a position for using. And I couldn't understand why, number one, you were the one coming with your hands out, but then you wanted to downgrade what I was doing. And then I had somebody kind of clap back at me. And I realized too that you can help people as much as you possibly can, but they are still will not admit, until you basically call them on their BS, that they were never going to allow you to stop doing what you're doing. And they would never admit and even say sorry for the shade and the usury. But that's fine. I'm in the process of, and I'm glad Nano White Mo is there for people like me, because I'm always in my head. I have an outlet to get out my frustration with not only my own life and the shenanigans that people try me with, but also the shenanigans is for the extension of COVID. I'm such a freaking weirdo, because I'm probably one of the few people that COVID has made me more creative. I think I've told this to one of my colleagues previously, that COVID has made people more stupid and lazier, and they think it's okay to be stupid and lazy, but it's not. And if I'm going to be on my self-imposed, continued isolation, I'm going to have to do it in style. If I can't visit these places because I don't think that it is safe, then I'm going to have to make up these places, I guess, in my head. But this past week, and actually it was yesterday, I posted, I think I did a pretty good job on this. I said basically my reaction to COVID. Later in the news, or at late date, the Tennessee Assembly basically called a special session not only to pass a $900 million special, I guess, bond to attract another a big-time auto producer, Ford, to the state. But at the same time, they wanted to take the opportunity to go the way of dumbass DeSantis and dumbass Abbott in Texas with the anti-COVID mandates. I still am just blown away by what this whole human rights over public health and science. But this was my reaction to Florida fining one of the counties for mandating COVID vaccines and DeSantis suing the Biden administration. I call it mass sociopathy, and here's why. And I've spoken about this, I believe, in less cohesive terms prior, but I'm learning that mass or collective sociopathy may just be a thing. What I believe triggered this was the former head sociopath in charge, Trump 45. I was reading an article that in the New York Times where he was touring all of the burned out buildings in during the mass protests after the young man was shot in the back by the cop in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And he was staring up trouble then and having these all federal zones and the black shirt hearkening back to the Nazis and the red shirts of like the Kristallnacht and World War II in Nazi Germany. And if I thought he was smart enough to be able to pull it off, it seems to me he was setting up his own little kingdom. And it looked like America was there for it. He was staring up riots and saying reckless stuff, just like he did when he took out that full page advertisement about persecuting and killing what we thought were the Central Park Five and DNA, and what ended up exonerating all of those young men after they had lost their youth and almost their life when they were unjustly convicted for a crime that they didn't do. And it just goes on to prove that only in America can a truly trash human being become a leader. This fool is a complete sociopath, bereft of common decency and consciousness and sense. And he had at his arsenal by weaponizing the Justice Department, which should have been renamed the Injustice Department. Lawyers, politicians were all under his thumb, and they were willing to suspend ethics and common sense to follow this charlatan in his reign of terror. This cancerous, malignant presence is still operating in this aftermath of governors and state legislatures doing the most to galvanize a base of fools and to pervert the meaning of public health and safety. The base that they are galvanizing are these anti-government sovereign state fools that side with you because you're only saying one thing and you're saying what the other side refuses to say. They don't want your representation. They don't want no more than a man on the moon. You have to be careful with your words because these anti-government fools will activate riot and they can't be controlled. January 6th riots was a result of that. They're just waiting to cause chaos. Now, I also wanted to question my lawyers, friends, and other creators, and is it possible to enforce executive orders or laws that are contrary to the public health and well-being? I can't understand how you can find someone for ordering a private company to mandate the usage of an FDA-approved vaccine to protect not only the workers, but everybody in the public. It would seem you can't enforce stupid because that these mandates and human rights above, individual human rights above public health, just doesn't make any sense to me. Every time I see DeSantis, he's in Florida governor, and he's acting like what everyone thinks of the stupid Florida man. But he actually is in charge, which is very frightening. But big businesses are saying, nah, y'all, we outie, because Ford actually wrote a letter that basically says, how are you trying to pass these mandates when we've done what is necessary to keep our workers safe? Why would you do that? They're basically putting them on blast. And I believe it's like the legislature is now coming up and saying, you know, oops, we may need to tone it down because we don't want them to back out of all of this massive job opportunities in another tax base by our own shenanigans. But we want to do it. But how can we keep doing this stuff? We got to tread lightly because we don't want to give up all this money. And it basically is capitalism at its worst. Money talks and BS walks. I think for $900 million, the BS is going to have to walk, because it's not the same as DeSantis and Abbott, and they're wilding out because they have established companies like with billions of dollars in big pharma, telecommunication, banking, and energy, with the exception of the airlines, Southwest and American, that told Abbott to go take a seat. But the other big ones, and some of them are lining the coffers of these big PACs, and they're eerily quiet because they don't care. They just want to keep operating in impunity. And if they're going to continue to talk until somebody balks, but they're saying they're just doing the most. And it's not, they're not doing it for the collective good, because you won't penalize people for doing what is going to keep everybody and truly end the pandemic, not just because they said so. You can't fix these lawmakers that are politicizing for whatever ends. I think they noticed, like Marjorie, she comes out and says some of the wildest ish, and her donations to her PAC goes up exponentially. And I've said this for a while. If we were to take a closer look at these PACs and they are in their financials, there will be a lot of backlash, because I think a lot of these politicians won't say this dumb ish if the IRS and the campaign finance committees came after that, their scratch. If you penalize them as well as the politicians, there will be some issues. But anytime you spout off for the loud and wrong anti-vaxxers and you start penalizing these people, then that's when you're going to start seeing some movement and some return to normalcy and decency, instead of these people just saying this stupid stuff for donations and for clicks. And it's a perfect scam at the expense of life. We're 700,000 in and counting. What is it going to take? I also wrote about everybody calling Kyrie Irving out on his BS. And the penalties keep racking up. Now he's like almost $168 million down because they cancel his contract extension. And he basically, this is probably one of the most selfish things I've ever heard anybody do. He doesn't care about his team, doesn't care about his boys trying to get traded to come play with him, doesn't care about the fam that are willing to catch a case to storm the Barclays Center. Because of this fool, he doesn't care about any of y'all, and he only cares about Kyrie Irving. And he's already a rich guy. He's going to be fine, but he may lose out on his stream of income if he doesn't just take the jab. I just want to tell him to take the jab. And stupid people siding, like Chris Brown siding with stupid, that doesn't make any sense to me. If they're like the Brazilian senators getting ready to bring up their president on charges for crimes against humanity. I'm just saying, is it when you basically lead to 600,000 deaths of your own countrymen, because we know with herd immunity that's not possible with COVID. You basically are telling people not to take the vaccine because it'll change them into alligators, and the increase in, if you get the vaccine, you're going to activate AIDS. Number one, you need to be removed from all social media because you're using your platform to spread misinformation. And you are leading to the massive deaths of people that you're supposed to protect. So they're calling him on his BS. And if, I don't know, The Hague seems to be punks, but they may, if they actually come up with charges of crimes against humanity, it would be interesting to see if they would actually take this up as an international offense and he could actually be censured in jail. The likelihood of him being brought to charges, just like our own legal system not willing to impeach a fool. He got high boys in high places that won't allow that to happen in Brazil, but it would be interesting to see if The Hague would be willing to prosecute him. They were willing to go after the regime for the Rwanda genocide. Why wouldn't they go against this guy that has been saying all this wild-ish and led to the deaths of 600,000 people? What does it have to take? The proof's in the pudding, and the proof's in the numbers and the deaths that are filling up to overflowing the graveyards in Brazil. What is it going to take for somebody to tell Trump and anybody that keeps speaking that cross-eyed wrong rhetoric in this country to shut up and take a seat if you have nothing else to truly say to really help humanity? Part of the solution is actually being a part of the solution and not the problem. Part of the one is basically spreading the truth in small doses and debunking falsehoods, using your platform for good. I hope to expand my platform, and hopefully the more people that read it and hear will be interested in wanting me to do more and make and push me to do even better. But the only way to truly end this pandemic of sociopathy, as well as this pandemic of right-wing, conservative, anti-sense nonsense, is to basically stand on the truth and make it plain for people. I want to be on the leading edge of not being a part of the crazy rhetoric and sowing of discord. That's the only way that we're going to fix this. This is the only way that we're going to get back to some semblance of sanity. Who's with me? Raise your hand. Who's with me?
Reading is a very fresh way to learn.
That has never been so much so true as it has been for me in the last several weeks and also the past 2 years. I tell people this all the time. I started the podcast simply as a way to entertain myself as I was stuck in hotel rooms and Airbnbs in the dreary Kentucky town while I worked temporarily at a position there, as a lead up to my more permanent daytime position. And I firmly believe that me showing people and me having fun reading different things from newspapers to magazines to different books is what kept me sane in those dark days of 2019. And then through when we went on lockdown through the pandemic, my ability to continue to post and to publish and produce my podcast has been a saving grace. And I thank everyone that has gotten me to 36,000 downloads and that have gotten my blog posted on and made it prominent on different platforms across the world, and I'm grateful for that. My goal is to get to 10,000 downloads by the end of the year and into 2022, maybe even get a really good sponsor so I can do this, get someone else that has a better voice than myself, and also writers that will be able to provide the content in the script so I can actually increase my multimedia endeavor. So thank you. But this week, I've continued to read because I want to be like Toni Morrison said. I'm going to read until I understand, not just to entertain me, but to read to understand. I've continued my focus on Our Kind of People by Lawrence Otis Graham. I wanted to continue to read the book because it's the show actually of the same name on Fox was on a bye week like the Dallas Cowboys were last week. So there was no new episode that dropped on Thursday. But I was reading it today and I was having difficulty finishing it. And I was thinking about moving on, and I hate that. I hate when you start a book and you don't finish it. It just seems like such an epic fail on my part. But once I let that go and I basically start reflecting on my own personal experience and how it applied and how such an outsider of the society, the Black society that is mentioned in the books. And I'm thinking I'm going to continue to read it because it's also the basis of what, not just the show, but also the basis of Black Woman Down, the podcast script that I'm also going to be working on, hopefully being able to finish and get edited so I can actually enter it into a short Shore Scripts competition. I did get through chapter 3. I skimmed through most of it, and I basically, and it was all about debutante balls and the cotillions. What struck me was how Mr. Graham tried to strike a balance between telling the tea about the Black society and a balance between as an outsider looking in and also a balanced way of the inside looking out. The elitism is also a product of our racist society. In American society, no matter where they don't want critical race theory to be taught or even the 16-9 Project to be taught, it is a part of it's a product of the racist society, and I don't want, and it really shouldn't be replicated. There was a time when the debutantes of these massive cotillions were on the cover of Ebony. The elite AKAs for their fair skin and were different than what we now see. The darkening of the AKAs and probably some of the old school Ks, AKAs, probably are never going to admit to that. But I'm not going to basically say anything else about that sorority because I am from a school. I went to a Lily White school. We didn't even have any of the Greek system except for the one little lonely sorority that I joined just to see if they let in Black folks. And I know there's honor, and they own the copyrights or to the rights to their trademark, and they don't want you to talk about, because I'm not of that life. I don't have any clearances to even show their emblem even in my show notes. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But even though the cotillions and the Black sororities and fraternities are all a reflection and were created because we were shut out of white elite society because of our color. And how the elitism and exclusionary, they took it to another level as a reflection to be even more discerning within those organizations that were created because of our being shut out of white society, but they used some of the same tactics and perpetuated some of the same tactics as white elite society. One of the things that I did sense was that sense of belonging and security, how social clubs were created just to protect the female creme de la creme. It's kind of like it would have been great to have been included in such an all-inclusive community that looks just like me. But I look at my family's background and I had no idea any of this existed. I knew about it from a periphery. I thought being asked to just be a Deb, I didn't think that I, number one, it was very expensive to be come out, but I would have never been even invited or would have been considered part to be take place in the cotillion because of my family's background. Hardworking, firmly lower middle class, but not that type of people that would have been invited to the cotillion. But I would have been loved to have been exposed to Black folks doing positive things outside of running the juke joint and the numbers. That would have been great. They even had camps where people looked just like them and learn from other kids because of positivity. It just would have been really nice. And then the sense of community of other people doing what you're doing. There are other Black nerds and family that cultivated kids like me. Wouldn't have been ostracized by other Black family members that couldn't understand anything that you did or aspired to and thought you were living. I don't know what that was when you were not encouraged to be smart and to wish to be more than your firmly blue collar upbringing and how you were derided and you were told that you sounded white, et cetera, not being encouraged to want and to reach for more than what was firmly in front of them because they couldn't get more or they were knocked back. Didn't even know about Black private schools of Palmer or even Mather in the Northeast. I also think that I did a think piece or talk about, what was that young lady's name? Former New York Times reporter had reported on this young woman the inner city, that as a teenager, she was 12 or 13, and she went to the school in Hershey, and how if she had the positive support of these kids at the private school, the all-Black private school, and then the Black camp, it would have prepared her to get away from the pool of the inner city or the ghetto and to her dysfunctional homeless family, and she wouldn't have imploded her life because this girl was smart. And now she's showing her tracks and booty shorts on the streets in Brooklyn. It wouldn't have made for a potential Pulitzer Prize winning story, but I think also her story about how she would have overcome if she had been allowed to go to this camp, if she had been allowed to go to this school and had support from people that looked exactly like her and not just a bunch of well-meaning white folks and had a soft place to land, where instead of her going back to the homeless shelter and her parents, how she could have been protected if she could have been at a boarding school and been supported by, had that Black support, instead of having the pool of mediocrity and struggle that she was used to. And we would have been talking about her in a different light instead of talking about her track showing. That doesn't make any sense to me. Also, I read in the paper today further about what I'm reading and watching. Again, just more on just racism and the biggest divide. I just finished talking about how racism affects Black elitism, and it's that, and Black elitism is a product of racism, positive and negative. But also, the Rittenhouse trial is getting ready to start, as well as the Fools That Kill Amari Aubrey. If you remember, Rittenhouse was 17 at the time, and already the judge is ruling that the men that he shot cannot be referred to as victims, but they were. I don't care. And they also are calling into question, even though he was rolling around with the AK-47, if he felt threatened, because I didn't know about this little dead beast. One of the two men that he shot were actually chasing him. They were probably trying to disarm him and probably wanted to know why your young ass is out. I don't care if they were potential looters or they were of the riot, but he wasn't even from Kenosha. He was from somewhere in Illinois. Why was a 17-year-old out past curfew and rolling around with a semi-automatic rifle? We don't need a vigilante and an unstable 17-year-old protecting us. That's where you should. How is he a hero? They said the cops and the National Guard had lost control. But how were you going to control people after they had already shot Blake? They basically shot that young man in the back. And it just erupted. And nobody wanted to be responsible for opening fire on people that were protesting and angry because they were tired of being killed. And then they were killed by somebody that took it upon themselves, vigilantism. When we descend into vigilantism, that is a direct threat on democracy, just like those riots on January 6th was a direct threat to our democracy. You can't take it into your own hands, take the law into your own hands. And I don't need that a vigilante working for me. It's not like what's her name, Queen Latifah's character in The Equalizer. She's doing for good. This fool was there to stir up more trouble and see who he can cap. And anytime we have a society where the police are walking around with AKs, that's not a democracy anymore. That is a police state, and I don't want to live there anymore. I wouldn't want to live there. I think there is a balance between law and order and you just being a tyrant. Also, again, what happens when you have some half-wit taking upon themselves to protect themselves from a young man daring to jog in a neighborhood? And I didn't even know this. Brunswick, Georgia has been patting themselves on the back because they, unlike many cities in the South during the integration years of the civil rights movement in the 50s and 60s, they supposedly had a peaceful integration. But we all know that racism and a cultural and color divide is not necessarily written. Jim Crow took off his hood, I believe, in Brunswick, Georgia, and put on an Armani suit, but he's still freaking Jim Crow. The neighborhood that Amari Aubrey was jogging in was known, and Black people always knew that they were not welcome there, so they didn't move there. They just moved to other places that they finally were able, if they got the good job, they could move somewhere downtown or in town where they were safer. It's kind of like here in Chattanooga, where a lot of Black people like myself here are now on this side of Barton Avenue or still on the south side, but it's absolutely more difficult in the surrounding counties because it's firmly red and firmly conservative, firmly white and racist. But their integration is all flawed. And why do we need, again, these vigilantes to protect? They say he was looking into these houses like, but I remember, for example, they said he was looking around, walking around in a house that had been, they thought he was casing it. And he wasn't. He was doing like everybody else that I've seen. Like when I found my then neighbors on the back porch with a bottle, with glasses of wine, looking out when I lived in North Carolina. But they were white. And I can only imagine, and I owned the place, and I was like, how dare you basically roll up, y'all not paying the note on this house that's being built for me. But he couldn't do it because he was the wrong skin color in this lily white house in the county. He lost his life for daring to be somewhere that he was not. And it basically put them on blast that their integration was not complete, and it still didn't change the minds of these mouth breathers because they hunted this man down and killed him in the street, and they had their boy tape it, block his way so they could teach this black man a lesson and run him up and string him up to get him out of his neighborhood. And they had it in their mind that it was okay to do this because, again, it was during the time where a sociopath was allowed to rule and allowed to make decisions on flawed intellect and a flawed instinct. And again, most people would just love for all of this just to go away and for us to go back to the uneasy peace that it once was. And we don't want to be called on our BS, that people absolutely amongst you think like this and act like this and will act upon these things because they think it's absolutely okay. And until you deal with the undercurrents and acknowledge it, you're not going to be able to move on. And you're going to have these activations of the Krakens every now and again. And it just so seemed like the last 4 years was an activation of every evil, vile thing that people can think of to say and to do. They were thought it was okay to do it, so they did it. But we can't. We have to still be consistent and hold them accountable. That's why I think that Rittenhouse, if you were brought up on charges, he needs to pay for that. Do I think he needs to serve life without parole? Not possible because he was only 17 when he pulled the trigger, but he does need to serve a lengthy sentence. And these mouth-breathing fools in Brunswick, they all need to be brought up on. It seems like if I, again, that young man, Ahmaud Arbery, was no threat. Citizen arrest was abolished. They all need to get a life sentence without parole. And this shit was planned. And they also had it on, and they had that other dude that was taping it as an accessory. And all of them need to be hit with lengthy sentences. And it's also our legal system. And also, they also need to take a look at that statement by the judgment or the instruction by the Wisconsin judge. Is it a legal system, a judicial system, is it just to give that type of instruction? A victim is a victim. It doesn't matter what he thought he was trying to stop or whatever. If you die by a gunshot wound, you are a victim. It's not going to prejudice anybody. He opened fire. Those men were unarmed. They are victims. That, to me, is prejudicial because that is trying for you to make the victims, dehumanize the victims, and blame them for their victimhood. And how stupid is that?
It's the hot girl coach and BTS. Smooth like butter, like criminal undercover.
And what a great way to end this podcast with Butter by Megan the Stallion and BTS. I was watching The Greatest Thing I Ever Watched, and they came up with this stuffed fried rice balls, and I loosely based on a recipe that I got off of food.com with my maripaw and my sausage and fresh basil that I have been growing for the past couple of weeks. I've been able to keep my basil plant alive. It seems I kept my basil plant just alive to be able to include that fresh basil in this recipe. Also, frying it in some fresh peanut oil, it gave it another dynamic flavor. And put it in a meat sauce. Left over from the stuffing itself. If you look at my Instagram posts, they are more than ramen. And this is a great way, to actually have a great Sunday dinner. And it's also to leave my podcast on this positive note. I'm glad you were able to join me, and I hope you will enjoy this podcast as much as I've always enjoyed creating it. If you would navigate to Chatterbooks, my online bookstore, you can actually pick up my kind of our kind of people, as well as other purchases and support of me and my other stream of income and my love of reading, as well as the blog and the blog store to get a t-shirt, my inaugural t-shirt. I want to basically share that with the rest of the world, as well as continue to read my blog, because I love it when I get little likes and comments and follows from people that I didn't know I would ever reach. And I thank you for joining me, and I hope this podcast, it seems like it was talking about racism and cohesion and the extension of stupidity, COVID, and it just seems that this is one of the most pulled together podcasts that I've done in a very long time, with the exception of food. And that's how I'm going to end it, with Butter, because I use a lot of that in my cooking. And this is available, the song is available for immediate download on iTunes or wherever you listen to music. And until next time, y'all, bye.